passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We are back, final half of the program, and by now some of you perhaps saw the news of one of the greatest players in history, Candace Parker. Her extraordinary career in the WNBA, of course, after playing for Pat Summitt in Knoxville. Moving on, what accolades? Three-time WNBA champ, two-time MVP, two-time national champ, number one pick, two-time gold medalist. Hard to match that. I think there's only one WNBA player from Coach Summitt still in the league. Oh, what an amazing career. We salute her, and we'll hope to talk to her very soon. And let's check in with Big Dave up next. Hello, Big Dave.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Listen, wanted to thank you for having our new head coach on a few days ago, Mark Pope. I enjoyed that interview, and he has certainly generated a tremendous amount of excitement up here in the program now. But I also wanted to talk about a couple of follow-up calls to his interview that day. When immediately after the interview, we all witnessed about 5 minutes of the most ignorant, useless diatribe ever in the history of this show. When John from St. Louis called in, and I'm sitting there thinking, this is the dumbest call I've ever heard on the program, but in true Paul Feinbaum show fashion, that was took to a new level about 2 minutes later when the moron Jim calls in. And there's nothing like listening to one idiot talk about another idiot's phone call. The cute thing about it is Paul noticed one day when Jim called in about 11 times in one show, how he'll gravitate to a particular word that you say. For instance, the word compelling. If you use the word compelling, Jim will use the word compelling in every sentence that he does for the next 10 minutes. And you use the word sapient, and he lights up like a fat kid in a Pizza Hut. But you don't call it struck. He doesn't even know what you're saying. I think he thinks you're saying Sabian, as in Nick Saban. So that's why he gravitates to it so much. But anyway, from all the BBN to John from St. Louis and Jim, both of you could kiss our ass.
Thank you very much, Dave. Wow, that was quite a call from Big Dave, essentially telling John to kiss his posterior. John is up next.
Hello, Paul. Are you there today?
I am present, John.
Well, that's good, Paul. I called up last week after Rusty read me the riot act, and I resigned from the show, but I couldn't stay away because I've been hearing very mean comments about me in the last two or three days, and I just couldn't resist to
Well, John, I am glad you're back. I felt very badly,
Paul,
that you quit. I don't like quitters.
Okay, Paul, what I was going to ask you, is it okay if I express my opinions, or do we need to get people like Big Dave or Rusty or anybody else to sprinkle water on what I'm going to say right now? Or is it okay,
John,
if
I... it's freedom of expression here.
Okay, well, first of all, let me tell Big Dave. Big Dave, you know, UK had an opportunity to go out and hire top-notch talent, and you guys sold out. You got a yes guy, okay? And if you don't understand what a yes guy is, all you have to do is listen to this show, because this show, and Paul would agree with this, Paul can tell you that most of the people that call into this show are a bunch of yes people, except for people like Jim and I, who kind of tell it like it is, okay? So that's one thing. And then the other thing I was going to respond to about Rusty, who made a lot of negative and derogatory comments about me last week. We know Rusty, SEC Network and the SEC Conference is more than just people calling up here and ranting and raving about their teams. Okay, it's about the food, it's about the booze, it's about music, and it's about movies. And it's essentially pulls everything together and talks about, if you will, kind of the history and the culmination of SEC fans. So people like Rusty, who are very narrow-minded, don't really they don't understand that and really don't see the big picture, Paul.
Hey, by the way, did you hear our interview with the new AD at Missouri?
No, I just got home from work.
Okay.
I know you always complain that we
don't have Missouri people on, but we had the new athletic director on about an hour ago.
Okay, well, that's great, and I think he's going to do a super job.
But back to your question, though, I resent that you think we're all a bunch of...
Well, Paul, you are a big yes guy, okay? I've told you this before, Paul, and do you want me to have to tell you again about what you're about? And the bottom line is, Paul, who owns this show? What corporation owns this show?
This program is part of an organization called ESPN, which is part of...
That's not an organization. It's a corporation, Paul.
We are part of the Walt Disney Company.
Well, what is Walt Disney and
Walt,
ESPN?
Walt Disney,
I
don't know what that is, but Walt
Street,
Disney
Paul.
Is a very large... entertainment company that specializes in television, movies, entertainment, and as you probably know, because I would think you're a theme park person, it's one of the most important theme park operators in the world. That's who we are.
Okay, well, that's who you are. Well, I can't believe you're telling me that, because it's all owned by big business. And power players.
Yeah.
And the Eastern
people
establishment.
People that actually try to help
Paul.
Employ hundreds of thousands of people around the world who provide entertainment and joy
yes,
to
do.
Young kids
and Paul,
who have the experience
Paul,
of their
sure.
life the first time they meet Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck.
Okay, well,
as opposed to the hoodlums that you work with every day at the Juvenile
okay.
Detention Center.
That is correct. And that's... Okay, this conversation isn't going anywhere. So we're going to have additional dialogue about it. But I can tell you one thing, is I would like to have some follow-up, also dialogue, with Mr. AJ. Again, we need to schedule the cage match with AJ. I'm ready to go at it. I've been working out, Paul. I'm ready to go toe-to-toe with AJ.
John, have you seen the promotions for Mike Tyson? He's going to have this fight later this summer against a 27-year-old man. Have you read that?
No, I'm not going to read that stuff.
Well, that's
why,
what's
why
going to happen to
that,
you
Paul?
If you get into a cage with AJ. I mean, John, I try to be your friend.
Paul, you're not my friend at all, and
no.
I never want you to.
I thought we were.
Paul, are you there? Are you gone?
I'm here. No, I'm here, John.
I thought
we were friends, John.
I don't really know what to say about that. But anyway, getting
well,
back
John,
to Mr.
Well, John, whether
AJ,
you're my friend, I consider, whether you believe that, whether you want to be my friend, I want to be your friend.
Like James Taylor, you've got a friend?
Yeah, winter, spring, summer, or fall. All you have to do is
okay,
call.
Okay, real quick here, too. I'm going to throw this out because I-Man would know. Wait, hang on. Paul, you still there?
Yeah.
Real quick.
John, by the way,
I don't
leave just because you can't think of anything intelligent to say.
No. Real quick here, I had one quick question. I never got an answer from I-Man. He would know this. Billy Joe McAllister in the bridge, the Tallahatchie Bridge, the story of, he knows what happened to Billy Joe, and Billy Joe was pushed off that bridge.
John, I don't know what happened to you. By the way, there is breaking news according to our news service. John from St. Louis is not friends with me. Yeah! Vance hopefully is, God. And he is our next caller.
God, Lord help me. I knew that fathead was going to call back. That promise he made last week was total BS. God, why do I deserve him? Why doesn't he jump off a damn bridge? All right, I'm done with that. Real quick for people like Bash, if you don't like the host or you don't like a TV show or a radio, a song on a radio, there's a real simple fix for that. Just change channels.
Yeah.
You're not hurting anyone's feelings, are you, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, and John, do you, this is a not positive what I'm about to say about myself, but is there another host dumb enough to talk to him every day?
Well, that's your own implication.
Yeah,
right
I mean,
there,
I'm doing a self-evaluation here after the John call because I am fairly hurt that he's not my friend anymore.
Well, you know, Paul, I've learned one thing in my 68 years on this planet is the mirror never lies. So if you're at fault, you know the answer to your problem.
Yeah.
But I want two questions. I got two questions for you. And maybe I'm the only one that's interested in them, either on television or in person, because you've been to a lot of college football games. What's the biggest atrocity you've ever seen at a college game? And what's the best play you've ever seen at a college game?
Wow.
Yeah. I know what mine are.
Well, I want to hear yours.
The biggest atrocity of all time to me is the five downs given to Colorado against Missouri.
That was absurd. It ended up giving them a national championship, and the game was in September or October. But
especially with Mr. Promise Keepers, McCarthy, who I think showed his true character that during that whole experience.
I heard Coach McCarthy speak at Promise Keepers once at a stadium, and it was that was before we learned the truth about him.
Well, I mean, I played high school football in the early 70s. We knew what down it was. The referees knew what down it was. The downskeepers knew, and the people in the press box.
Okay, so what's the best play you've ever seen?
George Teague running down that player from Miami. That
Lamar Thomas.
99.9% that was a touchdown in any game ever. That is one of the greatest plays I've ever seen. Do you like my selections?
They are quite good. I'm going to have to pause before I try to match that because those are two of the – we'll do that one day when things are really quiet, when we're not taking calls from John from St. Louis. We'll take a short break. We still have another guest remaining. We'll talk to Ross Dellinger in a couple of minutes. Your phone calls continue right here.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. Felix is calling next. Hey, Felix.
Hey, Paul. I didn't get finished earlier, and then the Paul from Texas called and everything. And the whole thing on Jim, and then he was talking to the producer and everything and saying, oh, yeah, the producer's great, and he helped me out and let me listen on my phone or whatever. You know, Jim is in his 70s or 80s or something like that. If he can't figure out how to find the show or whatnot, and he has to call in on Jamari or whatever and do that, yeah, and the other thing about it, Paul, he's been listening to the show for 23 years, and his whole gift, you're the only reason, he's the only reason that you're successful. And it's, you know, we've had this conversation before, and I don't know what to say about that.
Well, I do appreciate what you said about the show overall. Thanks. Thank you very much. Jim is next.
You're a lying old man. Felix, you're just trying to ride somebody's coattails. I'm not 70 or 80 years old. And I didn't say, I don't know what you're talking about. I've not listened to the show for 23 years. It's been less than that. But whatever the reason is, you're a blowhard. You're a blithering blowhard idiot like this other guy, Dave, Big Dave, Big Mouth Dave. Paul, you've really got an array of scumbag, lying. And, you know, the Bible says this. Here's another quote for the Bible. It's the truth. Jesus looked at the crowd and he said, you are of your father, the devil. He's the father of lies. And that's what you are. Felix. There was a couple of Felixes in school. They were trombone players, resented football players like me and a few others because they couldn't play. The girlfriend teased them about being, the trombone player. Why don't you play ball? Oh, well, they're afraid we'll get hurt. So they're band players. You got all these kind of irrelevant people like that on the dadgum plow trying to bring somebody down. I didn't say I made the show, but I damn sure helped make the show. And Feinbaum will tell you that. That's a fact. I made this show a rock. I made it. I am competitive, and I don't make up any crap about Saban regarding the word sapient. You probably don't even know Big Dave what the dadgum word sapient means, but it means wise in your thoughts, wise about what you know, and wise how you use it and how you say it. Big Dave, what a joke. Paul, this hurts the show. I'm telling you, John doesn't hurt the show, but these guys like Big Dave, little man, least of a man, and this lying Felix, I'm not going to stop addressing this. I'm like Trump. If they come after me, I'm coming back at them double, and I'll tell the truth and not make up a lie about their 80 years. I don't know how old they are. They sound like they're about 5 or maybe 10. 5 or 10. That's all they sound like. Are you there, Paul?
I'm hanging on every word.
Well, you ought to, because you know it's true. You won't admit it, but you know it's true. You're not going to bash your two loser callers. You
hey,
might.
Jim, first of all, I mean, who has? I put in a best-selling book about you.
I know you did. I know you did, and I appreciate that. But, you know, I still have to come back and respond to the liars.
I went to you. I didn't expect you to do anything less.
Well, I mean, this guy, he talks like I'm bad Kentucky. I never said a word about Kentucky. You know that. I don't even talk sports much hardly on this show.
No.
I don't talk football, that's for sure. And this guy, this scumbag, this lying Big Dave, Big Mouth from Kentucky, he comes in there like he's some kind of, you know, I don't know what these people think they are, but they're dummies. That guy is as dumb as Matt the Brat. Matt the Brat, you're talking about a psycho. All you got to do is say one little thing against Matt, not against him, but just in response to his idiotic calls, and he goes crazy. I don't do that. I don't go crazy over anything like that. I just go crazy over, I get mad about lying scumbags. They are lying scumbags, and I don't feel like I'm being wrong in my judgment. I don't think I'm judging anybody by saying that, because I'm telling the truth, and they don't like the truth, Paul. That's what Jesus said. They hate the truth. They hate the truth. The devil hates the truth. And you know who the truth is? Jesus is the truth.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Logan is up next.
That's ridiculous, man. This guy, what is wrong with this guy? I mean, he's quoting Trump. This guy's on trial for paying money to an adult film star that he was cheating on with his wife when she was pregnant. I mean, come on, Jim. You have the moral high ground, man. Are you serious? Like, what's wrong with you, dude? I mean, I can't believe what I'm hearing when he calls in. I thought he would quit the show, and now he calls in more times than I've ever seen, Paul. Like, I don't know what else to say about that. But, hey, man, I just wanted to call in, and I wanted to give a shout-out to your producer. They're always great. I mean, I'm kind of dumb now, Paul. Like, when I call in, the call screener, is that a call screener or is that a producer I'm talking to?
Yeah, see, it used to be that when we had other people answering the calls, but we felt that they really didn't understand the callers, so we now have the producers talking to the callers to help better facilitate, as opposed to some guy four
and that's
time
perfect,
zones away.
Because, I mean, every time I call, I mean, I get greeted. I'm on the show. I don't have to be on hold for 4 hours. I mean, I don't know what Bash was talking about. I mean, obviously,
well,
whoever put him on hold was intelligent.
Bash clearly, I mean, tomorrow he'll be at his sycophantic best, but today he was a disaster. We'll take a break. Ross Dellinger talking about college athletics. Speaking of disasters, he'll join us next.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
The story of the day in college athletics, and has a lot of people trying to figure it out. This is from Yahoo, Ross Dellinger. Stop living a vision that doesn't exist. The next NCAA battlefield. We talked earlier about what is in the works. Ross joins us now with some details and what it all could mean. Ross, thanks for the time. Let's pick it up and tell us, where are we right now?
Well, we're they were progressing along. The NCAA and the power conferences are in this kind of journey that they've been on now for years of basically opening up amateurism, right? Ending amateurism, I should say. And this is kind of the next step, right? And it was very much expected. Now, we're not there yet to a settlement in the House case. And maybe we won't get there. I don't know. But certainly over the last week or so, I think college leaders have taken the next step in negotiations with lawyers in the House case. And any settlement, of course, will include, as I've written for months now, any settlement will include a revenue sharing model, a future model for college athletics. And I don't think, I don't think anything substantial has changed from what's happened over the weeks. It was all leading to this point, to a settlement. I think what happened last week in Dallas is you got a little more detail around a framework of what a revenue sharing kind of new model would look like. We have some of those, I think, unreported details in our story at Yahoo Sports this morning about the length of the settlement and what a new model would entail. But this was kind of an inevitable end, Paul. And again, it hasn't been agreed to yet, I know, but a settlement was necessary. I feel like I've been writing about it every week for 6 months. It was the single most important case in college athletics' future. And that was pretty clear even last summer. I remember being, I think with you, Paul, at SEC spring meetings. And this was a topic. I remember we talked about the House case, and there needs to be a settlement in that case in order to produce a new model and get protection. The NCAA and college conferences to get protection from future lawsuits. And that's probably the most important thing here.
And if indeed that can be enacted and it's underway, what happens next? That's a seismic shift in college athletics.
Yeah. I think, we're on kind of like steps here. The first step was probably the engaging of a negotiation of a settlement months ago, right? And then through the weeks, they've gone to taking a step of creating and socializing a revenue model, which happened weeks ago. And then I think this latest step is now bringing more details of a framework to the presidential boards of the Power Four conferences. And those presidential boards, Paul, will have to they'll have to vote to give their commissioner authorization to accept and strike the settlement deal. So that's the next step that has to happen. And they are under a deadline, as we wrote this morning. It's probably within a month. By the end of May, there needs to be an agreement on a settlement and then thus an agreement on a new model. But change is hard. We have been witness to that in the NCAA and college athletics for quite some time. Not everybody is easy to agree to change. And I think there are plenty of presidents out there, as we wrote this morning, that are against settling. But the vast majority of people, I think, realize that a settlement is necessary. So when you get past that, kind of get back to your question is what happens now, right? What happens then? And in the NCAA's rule prohibiting athlete compensation directly from schools to athletes will be lifted. That's kind of the bottom line. That's like the short version of it. Is schools will be able to pay athletes directly, and there will be likely in the settlement discussions a cap of probably around $20 million, maybe even a little higher, low to mid $20 million per school to distribute among athletes. And they don't have to. They don't have to reach that, but they can't go over it, at least from the school. Okay, they can't go over it. And there'll be some other parameters. The deal will probably, will be 8 to 10, maybe more like 10 years in length of protection of legal cases. But there are so many other unanswered questions. Does Title IX apply if a school is paying 20, if they reach the cap and pay 20, 25 million, distribute it to their athletes, does half of that have to go to women athletes? We don't really know the answer. And we might not know the answer for years, Paul, until the courts maybe settle that. That might be something that has to go through the courts. But there are plenty of other questions. NIL collectives, do they still hang around and offer a little more money to athletes if a school reaches its cap? That's a possibility. Transfers, player movement. From what I understand, that's not part of the settlement, right? So player movement, there'll need to be potentially some framework around that, or maybe players would just continue to be able to freely move because that's kind of a separate lawsuit. So really a lot of questions. It's pretty early, I think, in the latest step of this, which is presenting it to boards. I know this week and next week there'll be a lot of board meetings of socializing the specifics of the plan. And then from there, they should be a vote. You know, there'll be a vote by each league group of presidents next month to go on to implement this thing.
Realizing, Ross, that all the major domos in the sport are part of this, who, if you could point to one or two people, unless they're the usual suspects, has driven this to this point as opposed to letting it all fall in the courts, which, as many have said, according to your reporting, this could be disastrous?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the easy answer to that is the two major leagues, right? Power two, the Big Ten and SEC. I mean, after all, I think I was on your show after breaking the news about the joint advisory board. And one of the things we discussed of the joint advisory board's goals was this, exactly this, right? A new model, to come up with a new model and explore a new model. So I'm sure to an extent it started in that room, but this was, from what I understand, this was a collaborative effort, not just with the Power Four conferences either, Paul, with the NCAA as well. And the NCAA and the Power Four conferences have been meeting and have been in dialogue for months about this issue. So I think they are all in this together. But I will say there was a time, probably back in January, where there was a sense that, you know, maybe one or two conferences would agree to the settlement and others might not. And that was certainly concerning. It was kind of like the CFP situation, Paul, where all these leagues had to decide if they were in or out. You know, it's kind of like, here's the deal, take it or not. And this was a similar situation through the spring. I think there were leagues who wanted to settle more than others. And when you get down right, when you get down to it, for the last couple months, I think everybody has been convinced, for the most part, that settling is a necessary thing.
Always interesting, fascinating stuff from Ross Dellinger. Appreciate it very much, Ross. Thank you. We'll be in touch and talk more about this in the coming days. Let's head to the break. We have had an avalanche of guests here tonight on these important topics. We'll devote the rest of the program to the callers. Right back after this.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Third hour winding down, and Tanner is up next. Hey, Tanner.
Hey, Paul. We missed you yesterday.
Well, thank you.
But glad to have you back. But I gotta tip my hat to Mr. Ryan McGee. He took Methuselah's call and stood up to him and maintained his professionalism. Then Elmer Fudd called in talking about squirrel season and whatnot. Same. He maintained his professionalism. So I. Then at the end, he had his daughter on. That was a nice, wholesome moment.
Really?
So I wanted to give him like some cool points. He's he impressed me yesterday.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, though. We are thrilled with those results.
Yeah, but Paul, Alabama, they had 10 players selected in the draft, correct?
I think so.
I think. And then Washington had 10 players selected in the draft.
I'm guessing you're right. I didn't really watch much of it over the weekend.
Okay. Well, then, so the only team that, you know, had more players drafted, I believe Michigan led the way with 11 players. Alabama had 3 in the first round. LSU had 3 in the first round. Washington had 3 in the first round. And just based off my, you know, looking at every round by round, plus the fact that, you know, the Alabama figurehead, Nick Saban, was all over the draft commentary, those are the reasons I would say Alabama won the draft. It just, you know, between what our program produced and what our new coach produced, on top of the fact that Nick Saban was, you know, had a spotlight on him and did very well, in my opinion. I would say we won the draft. I mean, what other program had as much success as we did? When you add, you know, Alabama's current coach into the mixture. But I've heard a lot of people talking, and I just think that's, I actually have to agree with St. Louis Joe or whatever.
Tanner, thanks so much. Jeff is up next in Ohio.
My goodness, Paul, when's the ring ceremony for winning the national title of the draft?
It'll be at the White House next week.
Golly. Hey, Paul, I got to give you some props, man. If any Buckeye fans ever call in and critique you for being harsh on the Buckeyes, I got to say, you're pretty damn fair, Paul. I mean, I heard you give props to the Buckeyes with the transfer portal, and when the Buckeyes are rolling, you're usually very complimentary. So I think anybody that rips you for being anti-Ohio State is out of line. Don't, I mean, what do you think?
Well, I feel like I always have, and I've already, listen, I don't, anything I tell you, you already know, but I was one of the few people in this part of the world who argued a couple of years ago for Ohio State's inclusion into the CFP. I don't let that stuff get in the way. Now, when it comes to Michigan, I have to swallow three times, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, I mean, you like to take your shots and have some fun, but deep down, I think you're pretty damn fair with the Buckeyes. But, Paul, I have to admit, I've done a total 180 on the show. I got to admit that. You know, is there anybody that's been a harsher critic of your guests on the show than myself?
No.
But I'm starting to think with these new regular callers you've got, like Bash, John in Louisville, Logan, John from St. Louis, I think you need to revamp the show and go 3 hours of guests, Paul, and just the last hour for callers. Because I'm telling you, man, these callers are terrible, Paul. The new wave are terrible. You guys got like Johnny B and them that try to prop all these guys up, and he's terrible too, so he doesn't even know what a good caller is, Paul. But I'm thinking go 3 hours of guests from now on and an hour of callers in the last hour.
Yeah, well,
that's really the
we'll
only
call,
hour
we'll
that's
call,
worth
we'll,
a damn
we'll
with
call
the
callers. Suits if they see if they can provide us with one every 15 minutes.
Yeah, because I just want to let you know I've done a total 180 from and it's all because of, it's not because the guests are any good. It's just because the callers are just horrible anymore, Paul. I mean, I almost feel bad for you some night.
So noted. Thanks very much. Augie is up next.
You know, Paul, I don't agree with Jeff very often, but hey, I'm with him on this one. And Paul, everybody's coming down on Jamari. I don't know what that's about, but you know, when I needed a kidney, Jamari stepped up to the plate, and I'm alive today because of Jamari. So thank you, Jamari. And Paul, do you think we're going to have another draft recap from John from Louisville?
I hope not.
I mean, the guy's been on the same boring story like 2 days in a row, and it doesn't get any better the more he tells it. So somebody needs to give him a clue as to drop that, come up with something else. And, Paul, could we have Coach Kelly talk about our universally bad defense that everybody knows about? Thrilling call from Darryl.
Augie, I think that's a subject that we definitely ignored during our visits last fall with Coach Kelly.
Yeah, I don't know. Daryl must have been in the closet in the barbershop.
You hang out at the barbershop, and what is that stuff they put on your hair? I think maybe that oil has...
What does it call it? Brill cream or something?
Has infiltrated his nasal system.
Well, then you've got this other moron from Houston talking about, well, the baseball team has Texas A&M. You know, we're probably not going to make the SEC tournament. That's how bad we are. If you really need to have an LSU figure on, you need to put Jay Johnson up there and have him explain what he did to us this year. And I know you're interested, Paul, in Ed O. News. Did you see he's in the news again?
Oh, what does TMZ say about Ed O?
Well, Ed O won a big case, and I think it might have been before, I don't know if it was a Supreme Court or a Court of Appeals, in his divorce proceedings.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.